Praise the Lord. It's good to be here once again to stand before you. It's good to be able to preach God's word and to see other people that love God's word. Such a blessing to be here. Before I get started, just to let you know, I didn't get the memo. So y'all excuse me this time. Amen. Acts chapter 7. If you'll stand with me and we'll read verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. If you have it, let me know by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let us read.
But he,
being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Just want to talk for a moment about the right view. The right view. You may be seated. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory, Father. As always, I ask you to move me out of the way and preach your sermon to these, your people. It's in Jesus' matchless name I pray, and I thank you. Amen. On last week, we looked at Jonah, who was looking in the wrong direction. He did not have the right view. He did not have the right focus. He did not have the right consecration as far as looking at the one he should have been looking at. But today, I'm so glad to let you know that there is a man by the name of Stephen who had the right view, had the right focus and steadfastness. No matter what was going on to the left or to the right, no matter what was happening to him, he still looked in the right direction, the right view. Stephen had a tough sermon to preach. In fact, that sermon cost his very life. What are you willing to do for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to look all times in the right direction, no matter what will happen to you, your spouse, your children? Preach an uncompromising word. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, which is the criteria for having the power to do those kinds of things in tough situations. They're evil days. They're rough times. There's going to be disappointments. How do you work? How do you live? How do you move and preach God's gospel in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on? You have to be in the presence of God. You have to be looking toward him. You have to spend some time on your knee, pouring out your heart to God in order to do tough stuff. And as you go into the neighborhoods, you're going to have to do some tough stuff. You cannot compromise the love of Jesus to anybody. If anybody has to make an adjustment, it'll have to be us. But we're willing to go out and preach and teach God's word. Before he came to this tough sermon, though, he had already had practice into dealing with folks that were contrary. Folks that was angry with him. Folks that wanted to kill him. If you turn to Acts chapter 6, we'll look at that as there was a problem. It was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. The 12 called the multitude of disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and all of them of Sicily of Asia, disputing with Stephen." And verse 10 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." And verse 12 says, "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." In verse 15, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." How do you look when people come against you? How do you look when people want to kill you and destroy you? If you're not full of God, you won't be able to handle it. You get caught up in the circumstances, and your view of God will be blocked by your circumstances, by others' hatred, by others' opinions. But you have to have a straight view to God at all times, no matter what. But you have to be filled with God. And if you're filled with God, you cannot be filled with nothing else. So Stephen goes on to preach what God has put on his heart to preach to these folks that have rebelled against God, blasphemed against God. As we look at verse 48 in chapter 7, "And howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will we build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hand made all these things?" God cannot be put in a box in a temple. God is everywhere at the same time. He quotes Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. You cannot confine me within the law. You cannot confine me within the temple. God reaches beyond that. He gets into our heart. And if your heart is not fixed," David said, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." And you got to have a fixed heart in these last and evil days. I'm telling you, folks going to come against you that don't like you because they just don't like you. And when they throw up this hatred and all these things against you, you still have to speak the oracles of God. You still have to love them in spite of them. And you have to preach no matter what. When God tells you to preach and teach and live out his word, you have to do it. But you have to be filled with God to do it. Does that make sense? Look at the message, verse 51. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just ones, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. The Bible says that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But I'm so glad there's a but there in verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. In other words, he changed his view. He had the right view. They were coming up against him, gnashing on them with their teeth. In other words, they were angry with him. They hated him because he preached the truth. And when you preach the truth, saints, folks going to be angry with you. They don't want to hear the truth. But he was full of God and had to tell the story. And when he told the story about their disobedience, they were angry with him. But he didn't look at his circumstances. And understand something. You may not can change your circumstances, but you can change your view. You can change who you're looking at in the midst of some storms. When was the last time you gave God a standing ovation? In the midst of your stuff. In the midst of your storm. Oh, I don't care what you're doing to me. But if you just look toward heaven and see God, you see Jesus Christ standing up on the right hand of the Father. Look! This is more important what's happened to me, to the left or to the right. Do you see what I see? He saw the glory of God. When things are happening to him, that probably we wouldn't stand up to. We'll be looking at a different view. Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? I never done anything but preach the truth and try to live God's word out in my life. Why? But if you're in the presence of God, you wouldn't ask the why questions. Because the glory of God will flood your soul. And you'll say, why not? I want to do something more for God. If it means my very life. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And look what he said in verse 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the Bible says, and when they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. On the way down, he still was looking up. They gave him hate, but he gave them forgiveness. They gave him a stone, but Jesus, the rock, was being looked at. I've seen, as I've looked at, I don't know if you saw this, it's called the Extreme Makeover. And I saw this man and this woman had given up their life savings just to help those that people didn't want. Paraplegics, quadriplegics, kids without arms and legs. They gave up their life savings to minister to these kinds of children. One little girl whose kidney had shut down on her ended up witnessing to an adult and saying, keep the faith. Keep loving. No matter what, she says, because I'm about to die. But don't tell me. She she had the wrong view. Love each other. Don't waste time doing stuff that dishonors God. You don't know when God's going to call you home. Keep looking in the right direction. It's an urgency, it's a sense of urgency we must have, because Jesus Christ is coming. He's standing up. He will be standing up, and he'll come back in the clouds for us. When someone comes against you, someone talks about you, just tell them, I got a better view. I know you want me to go in your direction, but I have a better view. I know you want me to come back with flesh, but I have a better view. I have a great God. I have an awesome Savior. And I'm looking at him right now. Not my circumstances, but I'm looking at him. And when you look at him, I'm telling you, the Bible says when I get ready to praise God, he inhabits praise. He loves our worship. He loves our praises. He loves our sacrifices. Stephen didn't take time to hate, but he took time to forgive. And oftentimes we take too much time with the wrong view rather than the right view. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Saints, I don't care what happens, how rough it gets. Make sure you have the right view. You heard nothing else I say tonight. Always focus on God, no matter what's happening to the left or to the right. You always should have a vertical view and know that God is not only able, he's willing to come to your rescue. If not, that's all right too. For the Hebrew boy says, he may not deliver us from the fiery furnace, but he's able. But even if he does not, I'm still going into, and somebody said there was a fourth man inside the furnace. What if Jesus would have got so caught up in what was happening to him that he didn't cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? He wouldn't have said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm so glad he had the right view. For he looked down through eternity and saw you and I and saved us. And I don't know what's more precious than knowing that one day, by and by, once I leave planet Earth, I'll see him face to face. Face to face. And all the stuff that happened down here won't matter. Job said, my witness is in heaven, my record is on high. That person that cussed me out, I loved them anyway. That person that called me everything but a child of God, I still said, you got the wrong view. You need Jesus Christ in your life. There's not a day that I don't go through some kind of pain, physical or mental. But he gave me the right view, so I can have joy unspeakable. Paul said it's just a light affliction. You can't minister and encourage if you're discouraged. You can't show the joy of the Lord if you're down in the mouth. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God gave me the right view. How about you? How about you? Are you willing to look at God all the time? When the world, the flesh, and Satan don't want you to look that direction. Keep looking. at your Savior. Keep looking. Because I guarantee you, saints, it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. But I'm so glad I got other believers that knows that all of this is nothing compared to the joy of the Lord. Keep your focus. Keep your view. Make sure it's the right one. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you glory, Father. Seeing a young man named Stephen who's full of you. And I pray that we'll be filled with you, God. That nothing would move us to the left or to the right, but we'll move toward the throne at all times. It's in the master's name of Jesus I pray, and I thank you. Amen.